Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
So that's the opening scene. Santa smiling, delivering presents. Predator drone, just blood on his face, and he wakes up on the floor. Just damn you! And then jump forward 15 years.
Just holding everyone's Rudolph's nose. Snout in his head.
Can that 30-second snippet be the preview for this podcast episode, and then we go to the intro?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut this out. This is gold. Someone's going to steal my idea.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You can't have someone steal my idea.
Everyone's looking for the next new thing for a great Christmas film. Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino, that movie thief, he's going to steal it.
Yeah. Joseph Stalin as Santa, kind of.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. It's very dark.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Welcome back to another terrifying episode of Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Jesse, and with me always is my good buddy Reese. Say hello.
Hi.
And in the studio with us today is comedian Karen Sudu.
Wow, terrible.
Did I? No,
you Karen butchered Sudu. It.
Karen
you just upset 1.6 billion people on the other side of the
planet.
Well,
I mean, that's par for the course for the show, honestly.
I tried to teach him phonetically, but he couldn't get it.
Okay, say it again. What's your name?
All Sikhs are leaving the whole farming cause, and now they're just coming after Jesse.
Just leaving 3-star and 2-star reviews. That's
no, they don't have internet.
How do you pronounce your name, sir?
Karen Sidhu.
Karen?
Yeah.
You told me it was Karen.
I know. I joked. I said, do people call you Karen?
I get called
Rise all the
Dude,
time.
I did not know that was a joke at all.
Karen. I've been called
swear
Karen.
To God, I thought
every
you were...
new teacher I've ever had is like Karen, and eventually I was like, oh yeah, it's me. Yeah.
You don't want to be a Karen. Yeah.
Sorry, say it one more time for me.
Karen Sidhu.
Karen, like current, but without the T.
Yeah.
Karen.
Yeah.
Sidhu, like a Sudoku.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how I remember stuff.
Okay.
Karen Sidhu.
Don't do it again.
The intro?
Yeah, go do it again.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Jesse. With me, as always, is Reese. And in the studio is... Karen Sidhu.
Oh my God, you got it.
I mean,
stuttered at the start, but you got it.
That's great. Okay, there we go.
I find it's good enough. That's the level today.
So Karen is a local comedian, and he's actually has his own television show coming out on Bell.
which is amazing. And he's here to learn stuff about Canada from Reese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I was born and raised here, I look like I just floated here on a wooden door yesterday.
And even though I only moved here 3 years ago, I look like I was born here.
You're fine. You are perfectly fine. Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate this.
No, it's good. I'm glad to have you here. Reese, what do you have to teach us about today?
I was going to ask Karen a little bit about himself.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So we can do some more banter. I think the listeners need to know why he's here and what he has to offer us.
I would also like to know why I'm here.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
And also what you have to offer
us. Yeah, what I have to offer.
Yeah, why are we? Good. Why should we listen to you?
Tell us a bit about your comedy.
Is it funny? I'm friggin' hilarious. I'm top five, definitely, in the world right now.
Wow.
Even though no one knows it. I started stand-up back in 2008, and then I just started having kids, man. Like, so I had to get out of it
for
a while.
Seems synonymous with the stand-up business.
Oh, my. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of, but like, yeah, if your first two were mistakes. And then the other two were planned. Anyways.
I could feel the air quotes.
Yeah. And I've always wanted to, like, I mean, comedy has always been what I truly wanted to do. So naturally, I started selling cars. And that sucked. So I got back into it. My wife is, like, super, super supportive. And she said, listen, you gotta chase it because you're driving me fucking nuts just pacing around the house doing bits all the time. And then we just started, and then I got into filming, and I just pitched a show to Bell, and they said yes to a travel show in the middle of a pandemic, so
which is amazing.
It's awesome. It's crazy. I can't believe they said yes.
Now, was it just Nova Scotia?
Yeah, so
it was a little safer than the rest of the country.
Yeah, season one is just Nova Scotia. We're actually on hiatus right now because of the whole thing.
But right.
We will share your trailer on our social media.
Oh, that would be amazing.
We have at least 350 followers.
350?
I know, we're really huge.
Guys!
Yeah.
Oh my God, I knew I picked a good one. This is good.
What happens is Nike just sends us clothes. We don't have to pay for it. They just go, just wear them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Nike.
That's amazing.
Send me stuff.
Addictive.
Do I just say my address?
Do you have 350 followers? I don't think so.
Do I say my address in the microphone? Is that how they send
that's
it?
That's how
social
it
security
works,
number.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah, okay, cool. I haven't gotten one of those yet.
So I thought...
It's right on the side of the door that you floated in.
Yeah. That is racist. How dare you?
Jesse's awful. He's going to love this episode.
Oh, good.
It's all about the Trumpiness in Canada.
Oh,
so we talked about Canadians at the Trump rally, and now we're talking about Trumpy.
The imprint of Trump in Canada.
Yeah.
I've got some stats in front of me. The question is, who do you trust the most between Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump to boost the economy? What percentage?
If Donald Trump was running Canada?
What percentage of Canadians prefer Justin Trudeau, and what percent of Canadians prefer Donald Trump?
Do you have the stat there many people are white in Canada? That would help. That would help a lot.
That would help a lot. Do you want me to just tell you?
Or
do you
okay, I'm going to say, I'll just jump right in. I'm going to say, I'm going to say it's pretty split. I think pretty split down the middle, is it?
From what I understand, from reading recently about statistics.
Oh, you read?
I just learned. Okay. But yeah, thanks, Mom. Something around 60 to 65-ish percent of Canadians actually vote liberal and are liberal left-leaning, but because the liberal side of Canada is divided into four or more different sections, it just gets divided, and then the right side is just one party, right? So that's why it fucks people over so much. So I'm going to assume that around 30 to 35% would say Trump.
64%.
Holy
Trudeau.
Fuck.
Trudeau.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, wow.
20% Trump.
All right,
that's still staggering.
Now, I actually didn't follow Trump during his 4-year rampage, but from what I have been told from people who were less emotional and more just like observant, it's like, oh, he's a monster, yes, but he actually boosted the economy like while he was there.
I think that's bullshit, though.
Is it? Okay, I don't know.
There's more people unemployed. It's like record unemployment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it had a lot of Obama DNA all over that.
Right.
I'm not saying that he splooged all over the economy. What I'm saying is it's his fingerprints on that, I think.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I just love the guy. That's why I'm saying it.
But do you want to know the more shocking stuff? How many Canadians who support the Conservative Party prefer Donald Trump to run the economy over Justin Trudeau?
I know conservatives fucking hate Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau, only 32% prefer Justin Trudeau.
Oh, yeah.
48% of conservatives would rather Donald Trump run the Canadian economy.
Amazing.
It's so funny because I'm one of those guys, I can have friends on either sides of things, whether we agree on it or not. Mm. And I do have friends. I think I spoke to you about this earlier this week.
Yeah, well, I said what we were going to talk about. And were like, I got friends. I was like, this is great. You're the perfect person.
Yeah, I do have friends who are Trump supporters and they're here.
No.
Oh, yeah. Some of my friends out in Alberta, some of them here. And I'm just like, but like, why? And I'm not asking to be like, oh, fuck you. How dare you?
I'm just asking,
why? They don't have a proper answer.
Right. Yeah, like, no, of course.
I get my news from memes or whatever they say.
Like, I had a friend, a gut feeling.
Yeah.
I have a friend in Toronto who has always been into politics. And he was running for NDP for years, whether like in smaller, not like running for the NDP, but like in, that's where he would vote. And that's where he was like running for various, I think he was running to be MLA for a long time. And then he just kept growing up in the ranks. And then he came down to Halifax a couple years ago and we met up for a beer just to shoot the shit. We haven't talked in a while.
Yeah.
And he had switched from, he had switched to conservative. He was in conservative now. I'm like, oh, wow, that's very strange.
It's a full 180.
It's very strange, yeah. And so
I think you can get bit by the bug. I lived in Alberta for like a better part of a decade, and there was at one point I kind of got bit by the bug because all my buddies were voting conservative. That was before Trump and all this stuff, but I did. I voted conservative once.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah. Well, as I was told, Canadian conservatives are kind of similar to like American liberals.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But like, well, I asked him about like, why are you conservative? And he's like, well, you know, we can, you know, and it was always has to do with the economy. Always.
Yeah.
And that's it. And like, this guy is such a sweet, soft-spoken, well-educated person that I was very surprised. But I asked him, I was just like, I'm curious, please just tell me. And he talked about the economy a lot. And he was here for, amazingly, and I don't know why they do this, but in Halifax, we have an annual conservative convention.
Do we really?
How
do you get tickets?
I didn't even
know. Can we go?
We should do it. We should do a live podcast.
We should go.
We should totally go.
And can we go? We should do a film about it.
Let's do it, man.
So
am I allowed?
He was, yeah.
To go?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I just tell them you're conservative. Even if you're not, I would do the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just
I'll shave my beard and stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's like going to the airport for me. Shave your beard, have an extra white accent.
Good morning.
Do you guys have mayonnaise sandwiches here? I am starving. just for reference, so these guys don't get in trouble, I am brown, so I'm allowed to say that stuff. And all my friends are white. Except for like, I got a couple black ones peppered in there.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know why we got here. Just wanted to say that. Just letting you know. Just for any conservatives out there. Because I can just hear the from here.
All my friends are white.
So we were at a restaurant and he was introducing me to his other conservative friends who were like rude and kind of just mean. And it was like, okay. And he's like, oh, that's not what they're like. Really, trust me. They're better than this. And then the waitress comes by and he stops and asks her like, can I ask you something and be honest with us? And she's like, sure. He's like, I've been at this convention, the conservative convention, all for this weekend, and I'm assuming you got a lot of conservatives coming to the restaurant. She's like, yeah. Can you be honest and tell me, like, just what were they like? And she's like, they were kind of really rude, like all of them, just really mean and really rude and just kind of, but that's what it was. He's like, really? She's like, yeah.
Did he get her number?
It's like, I'm the nice one.
Yeah. I feel really bad for you.
We'll get on to other things, but let me just end my confusion with the extreme right.
Yeah. Okay.
Is
whenever I hear extreme rights talk, it always has to do with the economy. And I get it. The economy is important. We need an important economy. We need a thriving economy. We need an economy to be working. I get it. But now and then, there's going to be things that are more important than in the economy. Like, oh, the world is currently on fire, right?
And not being racist.
And not, or not being racist. And like things of
that
nature.
I thought racism was over.
It's, I'm sorry to inform you.
You know what it's like.
But they always come back with like, oh, but the economy. I'm like, yeah, but school shootings. Yes, but the economy.
Right. you know what it is? It's like religious people using their holy book to try to win an argument.
Yeah.
It's right. Like, okay, but at the same time, all this stuff is happening over here. Yeah, but in this page over here, it says that that's fine. So, oh, is it? Okay.
It's just Malcolm 272 said.
Yeah. Is there a Malcolm in the Bible?
There should be.
I was just wondering. I have no idea.
I would like to see a Malcolm and like a Fred.
In the Bible. Malcolm and Fred, the lesser known disciples.
Yeah. That'd be a great movie.
Yeah. Reject disciples.
Fred 1412, how to fix an 86 Pontiac. Oh my god.
So basically, when you just ask for Donald Trump to be the straight up leader of Canada, 31% of Canadian conservatives still like him just to be the leader in general, not just on the economy.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Which is 2% of liberals would prefer him be leader as well, which is weird.
Wow.
But I guess you know what that does. It doesn't. It's not really about Trump. It speaks to who a lot of our neighbors are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he speaks their language, and we just don't realize how crazy it is out there. Like there's a lot of shit out there. Like I tell people this all the time. I lived in a small town in Alberta, okay, which is basically our Texas.
Where in Alberta did you live?
Stettler. Actually, it was a wonderful town.
I lived in Calgary for a few years.
Okay, it's 2.5 hours northeast. Lovely town. Shout out to Stettler, Stettler Dodge. I love you guys. That's where I love. Anyways,
that's where you worked.
Stettler Dodge. I worked Stettler Dodge.
Is there anybody in particular at Stettler Dodge you want to say hi?
Kelly Hicks and Darren Benson. I love them very much.
Hi, Kelly Hicks and Darren.
Kelly
Benson.
Hicks is actually a huge part of the reason why I'm not like in jail or do failure right now.
Can we return to that?
Oh yeah, no, really. Sorry, let's. Yeah,
no,
let's,
no, no. Sorry, I didn't mean return to that. So I was doing the words wrong. I mean, can we expand further into why you're not currently in jail? Is what I meant to say.
Oh no.
Or is it just a general?
This would be a great time for my in-laws to shut this off. No, you know what? I was getting into some trouble. I had like you know,
expand.
I had a crazy upbringing. Like you know, father was an alcoholic. He passed away when I was young, and I was kind of left all alone when I was young. Now don't feel bad for me.
All right.
I actually get an erection for some reason.
Me too.
Awesome. All right.
The table has risen a few inches.
And so I was still on this path for a long, long time. And like, I never had anybody tell me that I was better than what I was being. And he was the first, Kelly Hicks, the owner of Stellar Dodge. And he'll always be like, no, it wasn't me. And I was like, yeah, it's you, dude. So yeah, he kind of like wouldn't give up on me and stuff like that. So yeah,
wow, that's amazing.
He's the best. Like he's the best dude in the world.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah,
totally skipped over the jail part. I noticed.
It wasn't like I wasn't selling drugs or anything like that.
When my Kia breaks down, I'm gonna drive to Alberta.
Yeah,
fly to Alberta because my car was broken down and buy a Dodge from him.
Stellar Dodge. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just do it.
Go just because he sounds like an awesome person.
Yeah. There's... Oh, he's the man. He's the best. But where were we? Oh, yes. Anyways.
Jail.
I'm a jail. I got into some trouble. Yeah. I got into some trouble. In
all right.
My
I won't pry
days.
It further.
Yeah. Next podcast, though, for sure.
So there's also a website. I don't know if I'm going to show this to you. It's CanadaSupportsTrump.com. And it's essentially a website that sells merch and the logo is hilarious. It's a maple leaf superimposed on a silhouette of Donald Trump's hair and face.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You got to be kidding me.
And essentially, it's just a merchandise store. Someone's just trying to make
money.
How much
is that hat, though?
The trucker cap is $25.99.
Can you? I'm going to give you my credit card. Can you just order me?
It's a toddler short sleeve shirt.
Oh, my God.
And also a unisex hoodie.
For the tiny douchebag in your family.
for the little assholes. Canada supports Trump.com. Don't go there. Don't buy the products.
You just gave them a free plug, yeah, my friend. Seriously. We're going to get all kinds of free swag now. I know.
So I'm hoping Stellar Dodge will send us a free truck. That'd be nice.
That'd be great.
I've been trying.
And I like, of all of the Canadians, weirdly, I know weirdly, I mean, the Conservative Party has certainly been moving in the direction of using a similar messaging to Trump. So Erin O'Toole, his campaign slogan of Take Canada Back. And
yeah, listen, Erin O'Toole, I have to say, I know you say Take Canada Back, and I know who you're saying it to. No, you can't have it back. I'm sorry. it's ours now.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
And also I saw some memes going around about them saying about trying to start the thing about Trudeau rigging the election.
Of course.
All that kind of bullshit, yeah, kind of alternative narrative. And also they've been cozying up to far right media outlets like The Rebel and all these things. And Conservative MPs have been appearing on this. So they've kind of embraced the Trumpiness, far right kind of element.
Well, they saw it works.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But actually. I'm going to take that but out.
Okay.
No, that's right. The but was too soon.
No,
no one likes early, but well, so one example.
Has she shower grease?
Fresh morning butt.
Fresh morning booty.
Oh my god!
Brought to you by Canadian Politics Support.
I'm so sorry, mother.
She doesn't listen to this.
She does.
She looks at me, really?
Yeah, she does.
Hi, mom. Hi, Jesse's mom.
They live. Your parents live on an island. It is very nice.
They do.
It's a what island?
I'm not going to say.
Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. Yeah, that's where it is. Yeah.
I knew it.
Any of you know Senator Lynn Bayak?
No.
She's a real character.
Is she?
No. When I say character, I mean doesn't seem like a very nice person. She's a senator, but she's quite controversial in her position on a lot of things, and it tends to be quite far right in a lot of her opinions.
Right.
But it's hard to get rid of a senator. She donated $300 to US President Donald Trump's party because she has a second home in New York. And listed herself as retired, which is illegal. So under the U.S. Federal Election Campaign Act and commission regulations, foreigners are prohibited from making any contributions in connection with any federal, state, or local elections in the United States. She donated to Trump and then claimed it was an error. I don't know who accidentally donate to a political party illegally.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
It's not like a three or four step.
In the 90s, I donated to the Ba'athist Party in Iraq so many times by accident.
It's so hard. It's so easy to do. Yeah.
Well, you know what? They thank you for that rocket launcher. they're like, Reese Waters, whoever that guy is.
But I didn't mean to. That's the funny part. It was an accident.
You know what I find with... this is probably going to be a really shitty thing to say, but...
Oh, good.
Let's go with it.
Just amp it up, man. Dial it to 11. Let's go.
You see all these, like... the far right is getting, like, very attractive women, like Tomi Lahren. What's her name? Tomi, like, people like that.
They're on TikTok and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think that,
I'm looking her up right now. How do you spell her name?
TomiLahrenNudep. Oh, no, never mind. Not the last part, though.
Oh, wow. She is very pretty.
She's very pretty.
Yeah.
I think it's so crazy how they do that, because a lot of their base is like, hot chick boobs. Let's listen to what she has to say. I really think that's what it is. Like,
as annoying as it is, it's basically the Hooters business model.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% it is. Anybody who the Westboro Baptist Church would whack off to is basically who they're going to put on the news.
But you do find as well, like the way they've like tapped like, a lot of the...
I think we need to put like a warning at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
No, don't apologize at all.
All of our episodes are labeled explicit. It's fine. So
this is extra explicit.
The
sorry.
No.
Great.
The last bonus episode we did with John, he was doing the voice of Boris Johnson graphically detailing sex with his wife. So it's stung in a British accent with like,
what was anyway. That? Hard. Like, oh, no, you don't want to try
it. It was kind of it was amazing and incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and I requested it. And it
was, really?
And but, I regretted it immediately.
The whole QAnon thing. A lot of wellness influencers, like people who do like yoga and healthy living, jumped onto the QAnon thing and got seduced by it because of the whole anti-child trafficking and all this kind of thing.
Right.
And it's crazy how many influencers did buy into the whole weird Trump thing.
And it's because it's like no one's on the other side of this argument. Like, child trafficking is bad.
Yeah.
But they claimed it as their, that's, they're for it. We're not. That's what I'm guessing.
If you're not with QAnon, then you're for child trafficking is pretty much what they're saying.
I don't know. We joke all the time about the people who accuse Justin Trudeau of eating babies.
Yes.
We actually had an email because we talked about this in our last
episode. Oh, yeah. This is great. We had an email about
first episode of season two. We did another joke about Justin Trudeau as a baby eater. And we had a great email from a listener that said,
oh, this is going to be
this good. Is from a guy called Kevin, and it said, thanks, Kevin, for the email, by the way. If you get that barbecue invite from the PM, please let us know if he slathers the baby in cheese and gravy like a civilized proper Canadian, or if he dips it in mayonnaise like the disgusting monster some say he is. Thank you. And my reply was, hey, Kevin, thanks for listening to the show and taking the time to email. If that ever happens, I'll be sure to let you know. Personally, I think he's a power shake kind of guy, getting that hit of blended baby in the morning to power him through the day. Best wishes, Reese.
Right. So, oh my God, Reese sends this to me like as soon as I'm waking up, and I'm just like, oh, this is what's going through my head as soon as I get conscious.
I'm having a good time.
He's definitely a shake guy, though. He's definitely doing a shake shakes guy. In the
that was
morning.
My point, exactly. Yeah. You know, if he was going to consume a baby, it would be in a power shake.
He's drinking power shakes.
So have you guys ever heard?
We're making it like a business model of this podcast to mention Justin Trudeau eating a baby in various ways every single episode if we can.
Yeah, all right. I mean,
thank you for contributing.
Listen, not a problem at all. It wasn't my idea. It was his. He said power shake, not me. You know.
Well, that's a T-shirt, I think. Yeah. Trudeau's baby shakes.
I think. No.
Now featured at Booster Juice.
Oh, God. Booster Juice, send us free stuff too.
Yeah,
as long as it's not a baby shake.
Doubt it.
No baby shakes. And do you know the agriculture minister, Devin Dreeshan, who's a conservative from Alberta?
Yeah, he's my father.
Cool. Do you know? Yeah. Well, he's also been a lot of Trump rallies. There's tons of photos of him in Make America Great hats.
Oh, really?
He used to go south of the border all the time. And also Candice Bergen, who's a Manitoba conservative.
Hold on, who?
Candice Bergen?
Candice Bergen.
Oh.
You mean
like not the TV star Candice
from
Bergen.
From what's the show? Oh my God.
Murphy Brown.
I don't think so, no. Is she a conservative MP
now? Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about...
No.
Okay.
This is a conservative MP from Manitoba.
That'd be amazing coincidence.
We just destroyed any chance of Candice Bergen never getting work again. Although she hasn't been working for 20 years. Yeah. Burn. Let's go.
This is a different Candice Bergen.
Okay.
So she's photographed wearing a limited edition Cambo Trump hat.
Do you have a photo?
I do.
Because this will prove right now if it's the same Candice Bergen or not.
There's no way.
Limited edition.
Oh, that's definitely not her.
You sure?
No.
So
that lady looks like straight trash.
And you get an email. There's limited edition. So when you become a member of the Trump Army today, we'll give you access to our never-before-seen limited edition camo Keep America Great hat. In that, the email was in that voice.
Was it?
And she, Aaron O'Toole defended her.
So oh!
He said that... basically, that picture was taken ages ago, or years ago were his exact words, and also, it's not her hat. She posed for a photo with it. I think we've discussed this before, where
we said,
we have. Would you, if someone handed you some racist garb, like a Klan hood, take a photo with it and go, it's all right, it's not mine, I was just borrowing it. Someone handed it to me. Same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I confess something to you guys?
Please.
If somebody sent me a Klan thing, I'd probably wear it for a second. Just to see how it feels.
But would you let someone take a photo of you?
100%, yeah. Because
and then say, I think we're putting this on Instagram, just let you know.
I would get away with it, I think. But I would have to at the no, I don't know about the picture, but I'd definitely put it on. I'd put it on. So if anybody out there,
like a secret, like it's just it showed up to your house and no one's else around, and you're just kind of in your underwear having breakfast, and you're like looking at this hat.
Yeah,
like maybe it's
if Aaron O'Toole's listening, if you have a spare one laying around, just send it to me. I just want to see what it feels like. Yeah.
You're asking Aaron O'Toole to send you a Ku Klux Klan hat.
Oh, he's got a couple. Got to, right? Just kidding. I'm not kidding. I don't know. I don't even know.
So, and also, Aaron O'Toole, so he kind of embraced it. A lot of the messages, right. Doing a lot of crappy memes about take Canada back and all this kind of stuff. And also going, I'm ex-military. And it was that kind of militarism kind of thing that he really likes to play up. And I think that... he kind of embraced it, and though Trump has disgusted everyone who believes in a democracy, he's now backtracking and backpedaling like crazy, and saying things like, we're very different, we're not the same thing. I want a strong and diverse Conservative Party, said O'Toole. That's why I've been reaching out to new Canadians, Indigenous Canadians, LGBTQ Canadians. I don't think he has.
He's going to hire a black guy to like just join him on the podium. Exactly. Look at my African-American here.
We're friends.
Not look at my African-American friend. That's not what you said. You said, look at my African-American here.
Yeah. Is it here, beside me.
This is literally it. Just brought
it. Are you saying you own him? Yeah. What are you saying?
I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore. Pretty sure old Abe Lincoln put a stop to that, and racism was over forever.
Done like dinner.
It was done.
I don't even know what racism means.
Yeah.
Nope.
Although when I first walked in, Jesse was like, "Are we being robbed?"
Can I have my wallet back?
And
the
then
way?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Actually,
because you were racist. You don't get your wallet.
You don't get it back.
You don't deserve it.
And don't you dare cancel your cards before I get out of here.
It got so bad that he actually had to release a statement on the fact that they're not racist and the fact that they're not like Donald Trump. This is really recent, on January the 17th. And he said, within minutes of becoming leader of Canada's Conservatives, I said that I want a party that one that welcomes all Canadians, regardless of race, religion, economic standing, education, sexual orientation. I've said that as a prime minister, I govern on behalf of all Canadians. I'm pro-choice. I believe in a Canada, then blah, 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 blah. Basically just everything he can possibly say to say, I'm modern, I accept people. And it came back to the last paragraph. If the Liberals want to label me as far right, I don't think the Liberals are. I think most people are.
Yeah.
They are welcome to try. Canadians are smart, and they will see this as an attempt to mislead people and import some of the fear and division we've witnessed from the United States.
Wow. Jeez.
They're basically trying to do the old double thing where it's going accusing your opponent of the exact same thing that you're doing.
That's right.
Like the Republicans accusing the Democrats of fixing elections whilst... trying to wipe off all the
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Honest to God, if he wants to be known as all of those things, you know, then fuck it, let's give him
a shot. I'm a little easier than that. I say if Aaron O'Toole was to make American Netflix available in Canada without a VPN, I'll vote for him.
Oh, there
I'll
you
just
go.
I'll go right to him.
So literally it.
That's it. That's all.
Just a really simple retail offer. That's it.
Refugee camps where people are mistreated. It's fine as long as I got my American Netflix.
Do they have American Netflix?
Who's that?
The people refugees. In the refugee camps.
No. Come on.
I think they should have Netflix,
you know,
too.
What? I said this to a friend of mine last year. I was pretty high. And I said this to a friend of mine, and I said the first leader to say that they will start allowing people like Hulu and the YouTube Premium and stuff like that to be available in Canada will lead for a very long time. I guarantee it. I swear to God. Because people are so, you know, the economy and jobs. And, oh, wait. Did you say American Netflix? You say American Netflix, right? Okay, yeah, I'll vote for you. That's good. Yeah, I'll do that. Exactly. That's cool.
Well, it's like the last election, Trudeau talking about, I'll make cell phone bills cheaper. That was literally just that kind of offering.
Right.
It's like American Netflix and cheaper phones. It's like...
we pay so much... I know I don't want to get on that whole thing.
Yeah, no, that's a very long rant.
I'm about to get fired up, guys, and I don't want to do
that. I genuinely think, like, phones in the UK
you're gonna get them fired
and Europe
up.
Are so cheap. It would be cheaper for me to bring my British phone here and call internationally than it is to have a contract.
Oh, it's known around the world.
What is a British phone like? Is it like just plaid or like how does that work?
Tweed.
It's covered in tweed. It's got a little leather patch on the corners there.
Yeah, you unscrew it and brandy comes out.
Oh my God.
Is it a little pocket for a tea bag at all times? Just
no. You have a top, just a pocket for tea bags on all your clothes.
Oh right, okay, yeah that makes sense. Yeah,
instead of deodorant, just tea bags underneath.
Have I told you this before about the unique thing that happens in the UK? So if there's like a big football match or a TV show or something important, and there's a break, they have to add additional power to the power grid because everybody goes and turns the kettle on to make a cup of tea at the same time.
Wow. No fucking way.
And the electricity just spikes.
That's
nationally.
Cool. That's amazing. That's kinda neat.
It's just everyone's reaction and like, oh, I better put the kettle on.
That's crazy. When I was visiting India, it was a small village of Panipat, and you guys know what I'm talking about.
Of course.
And
party town of Panipat. What is it?
Panipat. Panipat or something like that.
I am not even going to attempt.
Panty pat, if that's easier for you.
Panty pat.
Pat the panties.
Okay.
And
I'd love to see the sign.
Yeah. It's gross. Trust me. And shit stains. And at 11 o'clock at night, every night, the power to the entire town shuts down.
What?
But it's not because everyone's putting on their tea kettles. It's because India's poor, guys. It's construction. Oh, yeah. No, seriously, construction from the city drains all the power. So every night at 11 o'clock, the whole town has no power. And the surrounding towns, no power.
No fucking way.
And this is like middle class, like a nice place to live.
What?
Yep, all the power goes away to that.
Hold on. No, like this is fascinating.
Yeah.
Let's just take a moment and kind of live there
and
for
also
a second.
To recharge the Prime Minister Modi's batteries. That old dipshit.
So like what do people do at 11 o'clock? Do they just have the candles ready? Like do they have generators?
They murder.
Like,
they just start murdering.
It's the purge.
Because it's like, what else do we do now? We're in the dark.
No, really. Like
you can get away with it in the dark as well.
Hold on to your balls, gentlemen. No, I'm kidding. They pop on candles. Oh. They make food on barbecues and stuff like that. And they party. It's actually pretty fun. It's a lot of fun. I was there. I was a kid. I was like 10 years old when I went. But
I love that because it's a podcast and no one can see the color of our skin, we have to describe the color of our skin to get away with racism. Yeah.
No. I think everybody knew from the start when you massacred Curran's name.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Although if I'm talking to somebody on the phone about something and we're going to meet for something and they've never met me before, I swear to God, sometimes it's like, oh, as soon as they see me, I thought, okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. This is fine. There's nothing wrong with this. And a few times, like people who might find me on Facebook or something like that, I have a picture of my wife and I. And they think it's Karen Sadu, and they think I'm my wife in the picture. She's white.
Right.
Sorry to upset you guys. I know at least one person out there is like, what did he just say? His wife's white? So when they meet me, this is okay. This is fine.
Yeah. I just want everyone to know I am fine.
This is totally fine. You know what I hate? When I hate this. And I'm. Can I just use this platform just
platform
let people
away.
Let people know one thing?
Oh God, here we go.
When you meet me, I don't give a shit that you love butter chicken. I just don't care. And it's like a way of people. I don't know.
What?
I think they're like,
what?
Are you Indian? Yes, I am. I love butter chicken. Like, yes, that's all we're about. So that's awesome. That's so great. We are literally only butter chicken. That's awesome.
It's like literally the least interesting dish
as
well.
It kind of is. It really is. It's anyways. So just if you meet an Indian person, just don't start with that. Just go, neat hat or whatever. Go with that one there. How many wraps did it take to make that hat? Or whatever. Keep it light. Keep it light. That's all I'm saying.
I once got a hangout. I was making a TV show and I got a hangout for a few days with one of the top Indian chefs in London. And his restaurant, and he made us the most amazing food.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
But it's all the stories about like... Every dish he had was like a story from his childhood.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
He learned how to cook from his mother, and like,
yep.
And
that's
it was
amazing.
Just like, oh, it was the food that was, and I like, Every time I've had Indian food since, it's never been the same. It's ruined it for me.
Yeah.
It was just like so. And I think as well, like the British as well. Obviously, Indian food is huge in the UK.
Yeah.
But it's kind of warped and become cool. Like they put currants in it and stuff like that.
No, that's right. Not me. They don't put me in the food, Jesse. In case you were wondering,
I was very confused. Yeah.
I actually have family in Reading.
Oh, really?
I do. Yeah. I don't talk to them, so let's move on.
They listen to the show, though.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, I forget your names.
Our names or your family's names?
Both.
Okay.
Should we talk about?
Sorry, research.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Do your thing.
No, we're taking. No, this is fine.
I did this research for me, not for you.
Okay, so. Okay. This has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
All right, I get it.
Are you all aware of Derek Sloane? Derek Sloane.
Why does that sound familiar?
I don't. I am not familiar with Derek Sloane.
He was running.
Is he a wrestler?
No, he was running for. Star. He could be. I mean, he needs a new career now because. So he was running for the Conservative leadership against Aaron O'Toole, and he's kind of seen as one of the hard right, far right kind of Conservative politicians.
He's not like the Wild Rose Party, there, is he?
No,
from Alberta.
No. He's from Ontario.
Okay,
so obviously he's courted the far right and the whole Trumpiness for quite a while, and they needed.
I like that name. That word. Trumpiness.
Trumpiness.
Yeah, it sounds like something out of a Dr. Seuss book.
It does.
Yeah.
The Trumpiness of Trump.
The Trumpiness of Trump.
So Sloane,
down
essentially,
the road Trump went. Trump.
Write a children's book.
Called The Trumpiness of Trump?
The Trumpiness of Trump.
Oh my God. Okay. That's a book. We can put it on a list of books.
And
we've
the
got a
road
list of books.
That road he's walking is paved with Mexican kids.
Okay. That's
right? No, because he hates them.
He does hate them.
I don't. I love them. You know, just cancel this right now.
Okay.
All right. Anyway. All right, we're back. We're good.
So Derek Sloane. Derek Sloane basically became the sacrificial kind of. He was like, hey, if we get rid of Derek Sloane, we're making a stand against the far right in Canada. So Derek Sloane accepted a donation from a white nationalist. And a lot of people said his name. So this guy is called From. What I noticed in the press was everyone was going, they donated money from a white nationalist, but they didn't delve into who the person was that he accepted the money from.
Okay.
So I actually looked it into From's background. So he is the international director of the white supremacist organization.
Oh my God.
Which is called the Council of Conservative Citizens. He's the director of several far right groups, most notably.
Council of Concerned Citizens? Were they all spelled with K's?
The Council of Conservative Citizens, the CCCs.
Yeah, they meet at TGI Fridays every Tuesday.
Split a blooming onion. Yeah,
he's got all these different organizations: the Association for Free Expression, Citizens for Foreign Aid Reform, and the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. In the 90s, he spoke at several Heritage Front events, including a celebration of Adolf Hitler's birthday.
No, my God.
A video surfaced showing him standing behind a Nazi flag during the Heritage Front's Martyr Day. And the rally included shouts from the audience of Sieg Heil, White Power, and Hail the Order. And From organized rallies in support of a Holocaust denier and shared stages with other denialist people. He was being investigated in 2018 for hate crimes by the Hate Crimes Unit of Hamilton Police after posting on his website The Great Replacement, which is a white supremacist site, basically just defending the guy who shot 51 people in New Zealand in the mosque.
Jesus.
And he said, violence is not the way to go, but our vile elites have made it inevitable. So basically, the worst of the worst.
See, that's crazy because... If anybody today who supports Hitler, it's all about violence. Like you hate a certain group of people and you want to annihilate them. It's like other than that, what is like why? And why Hitler?
Apparently, he painted pretty well.
Oh,
no,
right.
He didn't. He didn't understand perspective. But if he painted better, maybe it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, his dogs look like horses, and his horses look like dogs. He was kind of a little bitch, actually.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, he used to like women. He used to insist that his girlfriends called him Wolf.
What?
Just call me Wolf.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently.
That's amazing.
That was his, really. Yeah, he was. I think he must have been very insecure. I mean, we probably tell that from looking at him and everything. But yeah, he was always trying to big himself up.
Was he a short man?
I think he was.
I think so. I don't know much about him, honestly.
I just know what I know, like from movies and stuff. It seems like he's always short.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And maybe that's why he was so angry.
Maybe.
You know, girls wouldn't dance with him at the Flogentog or whatever the hell they call it. I don't know what Germans call dances over there.
It sounds like the local rugging tub.
And then he's like, I'm going to kill a bunch of people. Like,
and yeah. Now we've gone into Hitler impersonations, folks. Thank you.
Listen, I will never say anything positive about that monster of a human being.
No, like, no, I wasn't asking you to.
No. The reason I said that is because Jesse passed me a note.
Can we at least say something nice about Hitler?
Was the note that Jesse passed me. He was like, can you say something nice about him? Like, yeah. I was like, no. And I kept pushing it back.
It does this all the time.
It's crazy. What is this?
We'll be talking about Justin Trudeau or Mackenzie King, and I'll just slide a note across to Reese. Like, can we talk about something nice about Hitler? And
I think the number of Canadians who would support Hitler would probably be pretty mind-blowing, too.
Well, the thing is...
That would be mind-blowing. Yeah, actually,
I bet you would be.
I
guarantee you, man.
Yeah,
the sad part is that now that, like, there's... Now that, like, the living memory of people who were involved in World War II and were also victims of concentration camps and all the atrocities, now that there's less people, that's the scary thing, is that there's no one there to go, I was there, look at this number on my arm.
Right.
And now those people are vanishing. There's that danger of history being, despite all of the evidence, that doesn't matter to some people.
Kudos to Germany for teaching it, though, in schools and all. They do not mess around with that. No. Like,
For a while, they were trying to ignore that it ever happened, right?
Yeah, like, was it like 1948, 49 there, that whole time? No, I think that it's good. It's crazy good. Because you're not going to see that in, like, the U.S.
No.
Probably not even Canada so much. Like, we did some pretty fucking shit. They're not going to say that.
No, and I think
although Britain, I've seen some things about boiling people. Is that true?
boiling people
alive? Like this way back?
Oh,
this
is like drawn and quartered. That was the other
30
thing.
30 years
what
ago,
what is it? Like drawn and quartered, like live disembowelment.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that kind of stuff.
This is
Brody.
They love stuff like that.
I'm gonna throw
Jesse.
Jesse doesn't like
Google, man.
No, I know what drawn and quarters is. I'm not gonna watch. I'm not gonna Google it.
Yeah. I tell Jesse,
one tab is drawn and quarter, the other tab is human centipede. That's my evening.
But also the people who argue like that there's subtleties about Hitler and that maybe he did do some, you know, there's pointless even having that discussion because you go, yeah, but there's no way you can outweigh the bad.
You can't go,
oh yeah, but he built roads. You can't like build
roads.
How does that outweigh anything? Really?
I heard that he opened a door for an old lady at a tavern one time.
Exactly.
It's like, oh well, erase the 7 million people he murdered.
It's like the Proud Boys doing a food drive or something.
Oh,
see, they're not that bad. They donated five tins of creamed corn.
That's funny. You know? That's a good point. Yeah,
it's like they're not that bad. Look, they.
It's like Don King handing out turkeys at Thanksgiving. He kills people.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Good, but I do worry about the fact that there's no... I mean, you can't make them live forever. It's inevitable it's going to happen. But it's so crazy seeing a generation of people who don't really understand it. My eldest son is obsessed with World War II. And he loves history. So I'm kind of like, ah. And we're like read about it all the time. But I worry about people who aren't interested in history, what their perception... Say 50 years' time.
Mm. Right.
When no one has any living memory of World War II and what happened and the Nazis. And then they introduce some information. They have no opinion.
Yeah, right. I know.
Because you look how much, like, you look at, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark and how much, like, even then, like, the Nazis were still so present in people's minds as the bad guys.
Right.
Even, like, us growing up, I don't remember World War II. I wasn't born. But I watched Indiana Jones.
Well, so I know
you know what I mean, though,
don't
you?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, Reese. And, like, yeah, no, there's some recent examples we could look at, like, the current pandemic. And... all these people wondering like, oh, how long does this last? What's going on? Freaking out about the pandemic as if it's never happened before.
Right.
When about 100 years ago, 1917, the Spanish flu decimated millions and millions of people. And people are just now having to be educated, myself included, about this. Like, it wasn't that long ago that the world experienced what we're going through right now, and way, way worse. And nobody remembers.
We're not built for it.
No, I guess.
My father-in-law came up with, he said something really, really awesome. Shout out to my father-in-law, Paul, like one of my best friends.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
He's the best. And you're my mother-in-law, Connie.
Hi, Connie.
Love her to death. And anyway, so he said, because we were talking about at the start of the pandemic, we went to New Brunswick before things got shut down, and that's where they're at. And he said people are not going to be able to handle this because they're not built for it in the way that when back in World War One or when the draft, when the happened, you just had to. That's what you did.
Right.
You left everything you knew and you sacrificed and all that stuff. Nobody's built that way now.
No.
They're not willing to give up. I can't go to a restaurant without putting a mask on. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. There was a thing of like people, individuality wasn't necessarily a thing. You were part of a community. You were, I work in a coal mine, or I fix broken down steam engines. And like your identity was part of the community you were in and what you did for a living.
Right.
People like, my grandfather was a coal miner. No one gave a shit if he wanted to wear a mask or not in a shop.
Mm-hmm.
He would have had to have done it. And he would have done it because everybody else was doing it in his community.
Right.
And it was the best thing for the community.
100%.
But a lot of people don't think about that.
They
think
they're entitled.
And they're entitled.
Oh,
exactly.
Exactly. It's crazy.
I've been wondering for a long time if the divide between the extremely intelligent and the extremely stupid has actually been widening over the past number of years.
No, but I don't. But really intelligent people do very stupid things.
Well, they wouldn't okay.
Some of the most intelligent people do some of the stupidest things.
But they might recognize that they do stupid things after the fact. If they don't, they're probably not that intelligent.
Well, no, I argue that, like, there are some really smart people. I was reading an article about a woman who fell 100% into QAnon. She had a doctorate. She grew up liberal. She wasn't exposed to any of those things. But she went hard into it and delved into it. And even really smart people fall for really stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's
because it's emotional.
100%. Like, you look at anybody who's on the extremely far right.
Mm-hmm. I have a problem with any extremes, honestly. Extreme left and extreme right
is very irritating. I think extreme right is infuriating and extreme left is just irritating as shit.
Yes.
It's so annoying.
Yeah, no, it is. It's true.
It's like, God.
I don't like being, personally, I don't want to be labeled into a group. You give me a fairly decent argument for whatever it is you're talking about, I'll listen. That doesn't mean I'll agree with it, but I'll listen to you, right?
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So, but if to say like I'm with this group, I'm with it's that's further dividing. That's all.
That's right. You know what? The far left and the far right are way more alike than they think.
Right. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
entitled pieces of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you look around a different spectrum, it's just this is normal life, and this is people just trying to get on, and we're a bit different. And
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then they're going. They're on a different spectrum where they're in a group of people who want to transform everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to dramatically change our lives. So if you look at it rather than left and right and just, I enjoy normal life and I accept that this is the reality that we live in. And
sure.
We need to smash everything apart and rebuild it from scratch and it'll be better then. It's, yeah.
Thanks,
it's kind
Thanos.
Of the same. I know, exactly, yeah. Just click your fingers. Find all the gems.
Yeah, it's nuts. But, like, getting back to entitlement, so the one... I have Wi-Fi in my truck. Things are going well.
Nice.
And
seriously?
And, yeah.
What? Hello.
Oh, Andy, you can get them in a Hyundai now, okay?
Oh,
it's not a big deal.
All right.
but it kind of is. So... we were driving somewhere and my oldest kid, he's 14, and he's like, Dad, the Wi-Fi is not working. I said, oh, the Wi-Fi in the car's not working? What? We might as well cancel this whole thing. Let's just go home. And meanwhile, in the back, he's got like, you know, the TV screens that he can watch and all that stuff. I was like, why don't you pop a movie in or something? He's like, I was talking to my friend. I was like, I don't give a shit. Like, I can only imagine what's going to happen in 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
What are the 14-year-olds going to be like in 30 years?
Well, it's always...
Exactly.
It always... It goes back and forth, right?
Too many stairs in our house.
When I was 7 years old,
yeah.
My parents got a tent and we drove from the UK to the south of France all the way to the Mediterranean.
Sounds amazing.
In a battered old Toyota estate car or a station wagon, I guess you call it. Mm-hmm. And you know, you think that would be incredible, but my booster seat was too small, so I didn't see anything. Well, I was like seven, and like
this was last year,
and I couldn't see out the window, so I didn't see any of France.
Oh no!
And I didn't have anything to do either, because like, and you think now kids, like you drive 15 minutes down the road, they was like, "Is my Nintendo charged?"
Right? Yeah. You know? Yeah. I gotta say, I was never in a car seat as a child.
I don't think I was either.
I always remember my friend.
I might have been. I don't remember. I'm going to get an email from my mom. Yeah. Sure.
My friend's dad was. He was a painter decorator, and it was his birthday, and he picked us all up in the back in his van, and only two kids got to sit in the front, and the rest of us were like all just holding on and sitting on paint tins.
Yeah.
And those were the days. You can't get away with that anymore. Yeah.
So I understand what Trump was going for. He just wants to take it now. I don't know if he's
pro-child endangerment.
Well, you were talking about your kid in the back seat with the Wi-Fi and the TV and whatnot. This is the world they're growing up in. Whether or not we're parenting them in specific ways or not, this is the environment they're being subjected to.
Sorry for the interruption, but we've got a quick announcement for you. It's going to be quick and painless, I promise. We'll be right back to the podcast after that. Stop crying.
I don't know if I told this story on our show or not before, but my older brother and my nephew, his son, were driving back from Cape Breton, and it was downpouring rain, and we're on the highway. It was dark out, and my nephew and I were in the back seat, and we were playing on dual Game Boys, Game Boy 3Ds or whatever the fuck they were called.
Okay, yeah.
Rich kids. You were rich kids.
It wasn't my Game Boy. It was
nice.
Right? And so like, they're connected. We were playing, you know, Smash Brothers or something. I don't remember the game we were playing. And then the car starts to hydroplane and out of control. We're driving like, you know, well over 110 kilometers per hour down the highway in the dark, in torrential downpour, and the car starts to hydroplane and then starts to rotate slowly like 180 degrees, then 360 degrees on the highway while continuing to barrel down 110 kilometers per hour. And I'm like terrified and gripping. I'm like, what the oh my God, are we going to survive this? Are we going to fly into the ditch? Are we going to smash into a tree? Because once you start hydroplaning, the brakes are useless, completely useless. You're going, right? Wherever you ended up. And
it's like being in space.
Yeah, pretty much. And so like the car eventually, we did a full 360, and then the car eventually slowed down, stopped hydroplaning. And then we came to a stop, and my brother and I got out of the car. There's no one other cars on the highway. And we're just like catching our breath. Is everyone okay? You okay? You okay? And then I looked over to my nephew. Are you okay? And he had not looked up from his Game Boy once.
Jesus. See, what you know, I actually have a question to that story. So, you guys could afford Game Boys, but not traction control? Not a car with traction control? Like, Jesus.
Priorities, man. Come on.
Spend the money on. But I think part of the problem is as well is that everyone is not necessarily raised by their parents. Maybe they are. Everyone's raised to believe, and also most people are, and the media gives us the impression, and social media gives us the impression, and every film and every book ever made, that we're all special and our lives are a story, right? And we're the main characters.
Yeah.
Which I think is a relatively new thing. I don't think,
you
know, you were part of something before. You were part, and now we're all our special narratives. You know, what are you going to do with your life, and what can you achieve? And then we see people who are like, oh my God, they've got 10,000 followers. You know, they're somebody, they're doing something with their life. Meanwhile, they're just depressed and like,
yeah, like, when
how did I get 10,000 followers?
Like, when did people get hope? Like, when did that shit happen?
But you know what I mean? Everyone thinks that,
yeah,
like,
no, for sure.
And because of that, they go, well, this is inconvenient. This is ruining chapter 17 of my story. You know,
when I got
this is gonna be good. When they make the film about my life, this is gonna be a shit,
yeah,
shit scene.
I had
Corinne, if they made a movie about your life, who would you want to play the part?
Oh, geez. I would want someone like, oh, man, that's a great question. That's a great question. I was thinking like Carrot Top, maybe. No, no, not him. Whoopi Goldberg, maybe?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
I like that.
I don't know. No? I don't know.
I'm going to go with Whoopi Goldberg.
Goldberg.
That's my nickname for
it. Yeah, no. I would definitely not know. I want to play myself, because if anyone's going to make a shitty movie, it's going to be me.
Speaking of which, you have a television show coming out. Which
yeah, I do, actually. Thanks for plugging it in there.
I think... old Jim Carrey would play you.
Old Jim Carrey?
Yeah, old Jim Carrey.
As in we have to wait for Jim Carrey to get even older? No, as
he
is
now, he looks really old now. Because he's done too much. He's done too much with his face.
Right.
And he's worn it out. It looks knackered.
Worn it out. Yeah. It's like so a old leather bag. So who would it be for you, Reese?
Like John Oliver?
John Candy's ghost.
John Candy's ghost.
Or we could dig up his corpse and fill him full of animatronics.
That'd be disrespectful.
That'd be gross.
I'd rather just his ghost.
Have just imagination. His ghost. Come on now.
So who's his ghost's agent? Like, who books that gig?
I don't know.
You want to get hold of him? Are we done with
no, we're not.
Trump
we're,
and Canadians?
No, oh, shit.
We went on this huge tangent.
That's what I would call a mild tangent.
Reese is going to cut the whole thing out.
No, I'll keep it in. It's fun. Right. So Derek Sloan.
Yes.
So he, the Conservatives.
And we're back to him, are we?
Aaron O'Toole throwing Derek Sloan under the bus to go, oh, we're not like this. We need to get rid of the far right. We're going to have a purge. Like Stalin used to purge. He's going to purge far-right people.
Jesus.
So Derek Sloan is gone because he accepted a donation of $130 from this person who decides to dress up like a Nazi and does all this kind of stuff. And O'Toole said the donation was the last straw. And the Conservatives have voted to remove Sloan, not for one specific thing. That was kind of the tipping point, they said, and for a pattern of destructive behavior involving multiple incidents and disrespect towards the Conservative team for over a year.
$130, eh? Is that how much Civil War reenactors make there?
But so
per week.
So they said these actions are a distraction from our efforts to grow the party and focus on the work we need to do. Events of the past week were simply the last straw and led to our caucus making the decision it did today. But Sloan came back to say this is hypocrisy because, and I saw somebody posted this online from the Nazi dude.
Is that his real name? His official title?
AKA Nazi dude.
His Instagram handle.
He donated to another, back in 2014, he donated to another conservative. He donated $300 to Bob DeShirt, who was...
Bob DeShit.
Bob DeShirt. DeShirt. D-E-C-H-E-R-T. DeShirt.
DeShit.
DeShit.
Except there's an R there.
There's a running theme. I'm shit at French stuff.
Are you?
He's horrible at pronunciations.
My wife's French.
I'm pretty bad at it, but he's way worse. Too.
What I do is I'll on purpose, like she's trying to teach like our youngest, she's two, French, and she's getting really good with it. So I'll just butcher the shit out of it on purpose.
I'm like, bonjour.
Yeah. Or like she says like, prends le bain. It's like time to go to the bath. And I'm like, all right, prends le bains. Prawn the bands, young one. And that's, she says it like that.
Allie.
Yeah, yeah. My wife hits me.
And also he donated $131 to the Conservative Party.
$131. Jeez, tips.
I know. And it was, that was in August last year.
Strange number, isn't it?
Like, I'm going to donate 100. Yeah. You know, I can donate 130. Wow. I feel like I could do better.
Yeah.
You know,
this is, I didn't have to dry clean the old, the old KKK garb today.
Didn't have to wear them because of lockdown. Yeah. So I'm saving money. Yeah. So he's already donated. He donated to a different politician who's retired now, but also donated to the Conservative Party last year. So, they've accepted donations from this person, not just Derek Sloan. So it kind of does, it is hypocrisy because.
Just an excuse to throw a dude out. And,
yeah.
Because, like, really, they, especially among their base, they control the narrative. Anything they say, it's gospel. They're just going to believe it.
So as they try and purge people who have far right support, they kind of need to purge themselves as well.
Yeah.
Because they.
I'm just gonna grab a water. All
right. No, I'm good. Thanks.
All so right, it's Jesse just the done. Two of us now.
Yep.
Jesse's done.
Yeah.
Jesse's gone. But no, I think I think this is going to I think Aaron personally, I think Aaron O'Toole, it won't. This won't leave.
Ooh,
nice ASMR. I think this is going to hang around his neck.
I definitely, and I think especially because for some reason we take a lot of cues from the U.S. If Joe Biden kills it in the next 8 months, I think Aaron.
What do you mean by kills
finished.
It?
Like I think yeah. if do you I mean think like if he dies rating, or. His, no, if he murders Kamala Harris, that's yeah. what I'm, no. Okay. If his approval rating just like skyrockets, I think Aaron O'Toole's done. Like,
yeah.
done.
Yeah. And also, I mean, that's the thing. He cozied up to it. And like, even like, you know, I think a lot of people believe Trump might win again because there was a lot of like voter disenfranchisement. Sure. There was a lot of voter suppression. There was. You know, he had these giant kind of mobs of people with him, you know, and I think probably O'Toole was betting on the fact that he might win again and wanted to keep that narrative going. And it's obviously that's changed. I was terrified he'd win again.
I have a friend who moved to New Jersey and he told me that during voting, there was a group of Trump people, and they were blocking people. Or like intimidating people to not go vote in this primarily Dominican neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, and, hold on. Say that again. What?
So a bunch of...
Well, you're not listening.
Yeah. A bunch of Trump supporters were...
I've had a lot of caffeine recently.
intimidating voters in a primarily Dominican...
oh, wow.
Place.
Jesus.
To not go in. It was crazy.
And it was the same with all those votes they were looking to... When Congress voted yeah. and when they were, all those votes were from predominantly black neighborhoods.
Right.
So they were basically, that whole thing was purely racial in the sense of they were just trying to discount black votes.
100%.
Wow.
To flip the election. That's all
wow.
it was.
Wow. Of course. Wow. And that's why, you know, when Georgia flipped for the Democrats there, it's because Atlanta was the last to put their numbers in. And there's a lot of black voters in Atlanta. You know,
I love the fact that Georgia flipped though, and Nevada and like places that you wouldn't like, necessarily expect
for sure.
Like it's interesting though that to see what happens with, because obviously it's like states control the how people vote and everything like that.
Of course,
so the rules are also different, but it'd be interesting to see how like the Republicans now are gonna what they're gonna do next, because the whole Trump starting his own political party or saying he's going to start the Patriot Party and potentially split the right between a hard right and a moderate.
That'd actually be great.
Right, which would be crazy, but also as well, like, what does that mean? Are the Republicans going to double down on kind of gerrymandering and trying to, like,
of course,
you know, make it hard for people to vote, essentially?
Yeah.
And what can they just, like, should make, like, Election Day a federal holiday so everyone's off work.
100%. I think also...
Oh, that's smart.
Puerto Rico and Samoa should be allowed to vote.
Yeah, and D.C.
And D.C. in the American election. That's crazy how they can't.
Yeah.
Because... Oh,
They pay tax.
No
tax without representation.
I actually don't know, I don't know anything about this. Can you explain?
Oh, Puerto Rico is where Jennifer Lopez is from.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I was going to end. No, but they're essentially, what are they? Districts of the United States.
Territories
of the United States.
Yeah.
They have to pay taxes and
but they
all
can't
that.
Vote.
They cannot vote.
What?
They cannot vote.
Who do they vote for?
I guess Puerto Ricans. And
they can vote for a governor, I think, can't they? And do they vote? I think that must be it.
Their own government. Yeah. Like whoever it is down
but
there.
But they're paying American taxes.
Yeah, correct.
And they cannot vote.
They're not allowed to vote.
It's the same with D.C. because they want D.C. to be a state, but it's a predominantly black city.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's political. But the funny thing is about Dominican Republic.
Oh, and D.C. What?
District of Columbia, Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay, yeah. They can't vote either? What?
They can't. The D.C. is just like, is this kind of like a city state, essentially. Yeah. It's not, but it's not in any state. It's sandwiched between
Virginia and Maryland.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So, but they want statehood because they don't have their own National Guard, for instance. But it's a predominantly black city, D.C. So it's political because it will always probably vote Democrat for the as far as we can see into the future. So,
Wow.
That's why, because then it would be more electoral college votes.
That's right.
It would tip the balance of electoral college votes in favor. So, But that's not a reason not to do it.
Yeah, it's not. It's really it's not. Really it's not a great reason.
I know we sidelined onto American politics, but
sure.
I was just thinking that.
Sorry, yeah.
No, no, it's fine.
Staring at your Canadian politics is boring t-shirt.
Yeah, like, Canadian politics isn't boring. Let's talk about America.
Trumpy Canadians.
Trumpy Canadians. How do you think the next election will go? Because I know Maclean's magazine voted.
When is the next election?
Well, it depends.
We're talking Canadian, right?
Yeah. So they voted Trudeau the most powerful Canadian this year because he's in a minority government, but the opposition parties are too afraid to they don't want an election, which puts him in a position of strength.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If there was an election tomorrow, who do you think would win?
Oh, right. Liberals take it again, I think.
Hmm?
Liberals? I think so. I think now that Trump's out, it's like, I think a few people would be like, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, just calm down.
That was fun.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think Trudeau would take it. I don't think Aaron O'Toole, just like Andrew Scheer, I don't think he's got it. He just doesn't have it. Doesn't have it.
We did an episode on Andrew Scheer on his Christmas tree, and I clicked in my head that he's basically. Every time I look at him, all I can see is like a terrible scout leader. That's just what it looks like.
That touches kids?
Or? No fun.
Your brain goes to some interesting places.
Well, Andrew Scheer, that's one of the things I didn't like about him is he looks like he kills small animals or something like that. He has that weird look to him. Like he has fucked up a squirrel before. I think the Liberals will probably take it in the next one. Unless old Jagmeet Singh is, I don't know. I don't know about him. He's
it'd be great for the NDP to take it. I wouldn't mind that.
He's too cool to be a political
leader.
He's
too cool. Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's a pretty cool dude. He's been texting me nonstop since we started this. He's like, represent us well. And I said, no.
I've run out of stuff to talk about. So it's just
freeform funkified filth. Have you ever heard that song?
No.
Sing it
Buddy Miles and Carlos Santana for 27 minutes straight at Olapalooza, or what was it? The Palooza, the one that I was probably conceived at. Anyways, their bands got together, Carlos Santana, Buddy Miles, and for 27 minutes straight, just made it up off the top of their heads.
No way.
Probably the most brilliant music you'll ever hear.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh my God. It was amazing. Like both bands' drummers, the guitarists, everybody. It was amazing. Wow. It was so good. It's on Apple Music.
And Spotify, I'm assuming.
Probably.
Okay.
I would play it, but I don't think we have the rights.
No. No.
But what we might have the rights to play, we don't know, is the trailer for your television show.
100%. You do have the right to. Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Well, what we'll do is
Bell might disagree with that. But we'll find out.
They love it. They love it when I put it up places. Oh, okay. 100%. Yeah.
If you send it to us, we will put it on the social media to over 300 people.
Holy God, guys. That's the only reason I did this.
So the weird thing is, and this happens a lot with the podcasts that I've experienced and a podcast as I know, is that even if you do have a big audience on the podcast, you have sometimes hardly anyone on social media because you don't necessarily associate the two things as you might want.
That's right.
Podcasting is really
a really, really weird beast. It's its own weird kind of bubble environment where you really don't know how to find other people who listen to podcasts, right? Like put it on social media, put it on Instagram. Like, well, do they listen to podcasts as well as go on Instagram? Yeah. Well, put it on a Facebook group. Well, we don't know if they listen to podcasts. Like it's its own really bizarre. And there are hundreds of millions of people out there who A, have never heard of a podcast, and B, don't, and they've heard of it, but they don't know what it is.
Right.
Right? It's a weird, weird world.
I gotta say, this is a lot of fun. This is actually the first podcast I've ever done.
No way. Yeah. What? We broke your cherry. Oh my God. Yeah. Woo,
my face right now.
What's do you remember the Demolition Man high five?
Yes. Oh my God.
You ready?
I don't remember.
You remember? No, you stop and then you do this.
Oh yes. Yeah. That's right.
So you do a high five and you stop about a foot away and then you rotate your hands.
Did we ever find out what the three seashells were on?
You just scrape it out.
Yeah.
Just
is scrape that what it is?
You crack with the edge of this.
And then what? And then leave it for the next person.
Yeah. And then you just smash the shells on the floor.
Like, what if one broke as you?
I want to watch that film now. That film was great.
I loved it. Do you know they're remaking it?
No.
Oh, no. I know. There's no originality anymore. I'm going to say it. I don't know if
I watched the remake of RoboCop, and I was like, oh.
It was not good.
Lethal Weapon 5 is coming out. Yay. I'm actually excited because
I'm excited.
It's Danny Glover and what's his name?
The racist Australian Mel Gibson.
That's the one. Yeah,
it sure is.
Have you seen the Santa Claus movie he's in recently?
No,
no.
Mel Fat Gibson.
Man. Yeah, it's called Fat Man. It's amazing.
No,
it's so good. So basically, these the story is just these two filmmakers. Podcast. These two filmmakers had this, they made some short films, and they were pretty decent short films, but they're short films. And then they wrote a script about Santa Claus. How do I put this? Okay. It's as if Santa Claus was real, right? And he has elves and a workshop, but it's a drama. It's an action drama. Right?
What?
It's not a comedy, nor is it like a fantasy family fun sort of thing. No, it's like, it's a what if it was real and they had the everyday troubles like we do. And it's just like, and yeah, it's dark and it's gritty and it's a little fun, but like it's they take it serious.
And Mel Gibson is Santa.
It's Mel Gibson is Santa. It's called Fat Man. So it's really funny. These two filmmakers, they made some short films and they wrote a script called Fat Man and they kept bringing it to producers and they say, we want to direct this. And the producers are like, this is a really good script. We are not giving you $20 million. Right. Start smaller, guys.
Yeah.
You know, right. And they just kept pushing it. And I don't know how, but they managed to somehow get the money to make it. And then pandemic happened. And of course, they just lost it.
$20 million. For $20 million, I will make 17 Avengers movies. No problem.
But it's a really fun film. If you guys can find it, it's Mel Gibson is Santa Claus.
I will look that up.
Yeah. It's a fun time.
I'm one of those people who can't watch Christmas shit.
I'll give you the brief synopsis.
He's going to tell us the whole goddamn movie. Here we go.
Can I tell you my idea for a Christmas film?
Well, can I? Oh, I want to do.
Are you telling me? You remind us of somebody else's work, and I'll yeah. tell you about my original creative idea.
Santa gave this rich kid some coal for Christmas. The rich kid's all pissed off, so he literally hires a hitman to go and kill Santa. Okay, and Santa's prepared because this is not the first time he has had a disgruntled person try to kill him, and they have like a gunfight, and that's
pretty cool.
Hold on a second. You meet a hitman wherever you do CD motel, whatever. It's like, listen, all right. So who's the mark? Santa. Get the fuck out of here. What are you talking about? Did you say Santa Claus? You dumb shit. How old are you?
It's amazing. Tell us your idea, Reese.
Okay, so you know the fact that people go, oh, there's an elf on the shelf, he's watching you, Santa's watching, behave, all this kind of stuff. My idea was that Santa got pissed off at how bad everyone was and it basically installed a kind of a police state where he's constant surveillance. And if you end up on the naughty list, it's like being sent to a gulag where you have to work building toys. It's an alternative reality
with
Santa.
That's dark.
Like a prison camp.
Oh, shit.
It's an alternative reality where everyone has to be nice and friendly all the time. And the minute you're not nice,
super nervous,
he knows
about it.
And then you're on the naughty list. Oh, and then you're taken to make toys for the people who are good. You got fed up with people having free will and inspiring them to be good, that you enforced goodness.
Can I?
That's just my idea.
I love it. My brain's churning and gears are going and I've got some ideas to throw into that pot. Do you want to hear?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
You can throw some ideas in if you want.
No.
You didn't have any.
I did.
Were you thinking John Candy's ghost for the
animatronic corpse, yeah, man? Yeah. Come on. Yeah, exactly. So the AI has taken over the world, right? But they don't want to kill their creators. So they keep us as pets, but they also don't want to manage us either. So they look through the records of how did humans manage themselves? And they find all this lore about Santa Claus, right? And they're like, oh, Santa must exist. All right. So we'll create this little tiny AI that's self-serving and he'll be Santa Claus and he'll look after the humans, our pet humans, while we go off and do AI robot things over the side. And that's where your idea comes in. That's why Santa Claus is so crazy and kind of
my idea why he went crazy was that a predator drone wiped out his reindeer and he's like, the world has gone mad. But your idea is good too.
Yeah. I was actually staring at Jess the whole time he's talking. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? His hands are going. I have a friend who would love to make that.
But his commentary on the surveillance that we tell kids exists when their kids are not being good. And it's implanted in their heads the idea that they're always being watched.
Yeah.
And right. Their behavior has to follow along social norms. which I don't think is healthy.
Yeah.
I think Elf on a shelf is a dick.
Well, yeah. Oh, we don't allow it in our house.
It's a lot of work.
There's no Elf on the shelf in our house.
We actually cut short how long he was in our house for because he had to quarantine for 2 weeks before he was allowed to be in the house.
Oh, really? Yeah. We just told our kids that he got AIDS and he died.
Oh, my God, man.
Nothing quite like giving kids a
dose of skinny.
Yeah. It's nothing quite like destroying whimsy with a dose of reality. Yeah. You know?
Oh, man. No, we won't allow it. We won't allow the Elf on the Shelf in our house. It's foolish. And I had this thing with my wife. She's like, well, what present's going to be from Santa? I'm like, just a stocking. I want them to know that Daddy and Mommy work really hard. And they buy these goddamn stupid fucking gifts.
Oh, that's smart. That's really smart.
It's like when kids break something, they go, oh, you broke your thing. Yeah, Santa will bring me a new one. Yeah, Christmas is fine.
And also, I mean, like, because I grew up poor, and it was like, how come Santa got that motherfucker, like, a new whatever the hell, and I got socks?
Because he loves rich kids more.
He must. He must. Hey, racist.
I like how this episode is about the far right and the Conservative Party, and we've spoken a good solid 15 minutes about Santa.
Yep.
And alternative Santa films.
This might be the greatest episode of a podcast ever. Any podcast, anywhere.
It's certainly the longest we've ever done. That's
No, it's not. No.
What? How long?
Our longest episode we ever did was with...
not Jonathan Torrance. That doesn't count.
No, not with Jonathan Torrance. I think the longest episode we've ever done was with Sick Boy.
Oh, wow. That was an hour and a half, wasn't it?
No, it was only 2 hours.
That was 2 hours.
I cut our version down to be an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
They did the full 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So how long is this going to get cut down to?
I'll probably 15 minutes.
No, 15 minutes, yeah. So I'll talk about this after. This is admin that the listeners are.
Should we end the episode?
Yeah, why not?
All right, cool.
All right. So okay, if people want to follow you or whatever you're promoting, you know, where would they go?
On Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, 15 Cornwall Productions. 15 is spelled out. We have an amazing crew, Linda Mayan, Cassidy McCarthy, and Daniel McKenzie, Jacob Pugh, and Nithin Kumar. They are just, they're the best crew in the world.
And if they were to go to, say, TikTok, Twitter, or Instagram, pick one of these things that you can remember something fun you can describe right now that they can go and find and check out right after this podcast is over.
My TikTok is chaos and mayhem. There is a lot of crazy. Actually, I had a TikTok account with like over 100,000 followers and I got banned.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And so I started one back up and now we got a good amount of followers under 15 Cornwall, but there's a lot of me like bothering my wife, bothering my kids, saying stuff that is even worse. 15 Cornwall Productions.
TikTok for some insanity.
Go check it out.
And tell us about your television show that's coming out.
So we decided, like morons, to make a, travel show in the middle of a pandemic
in Nova Scotia,
which was foolish. And then Bell graciously said yes, which was foolish, and now we're making one. We just traveled.
We're in the middle of it, making it right
So right now we're on hiatus because you know the pandemic got a little wonky there and the restrictions and all that, and we don't want anyone to get sick. So we just traveled the province looking for cool stuff to do and hoping we don't get kicked out of places. I want to on air here, I just like to apologize to I forget the name, in Cape Breton, what's that national park up there, the old fort? Come on.
Guantanamo Bay.
Yes, that's the one.
What?
The fort in Cape Breton. Oh my God. Why? We went
not
there.
Not Fort Lewisburg.
Yes.
In Cape Breton. I think that's on the way to Cape Breton.
No, that's in Cape Breton. I typed in fort and Fortnite came up.
Lewisburg.
Okay.
So we can cut the part out where I didn't remember what it's called.
No, we'll keep it in.
I want to apologize. I want to apologize to Lewisburg. For our shenanigans, we got in a little bit of trouble. In
what
Lewisburg.
Did you do?
So in Lewisburg, they have actors that play
historical
people
reenactment.
Yeah, play people from the 1760s who landed here. So
that is lots, very much in Cape Breton. I'm looking at it right now. Yep. Yes, sorry.
So they play people from back in the 1760s who landed here. So obviously plenty of blacks and Hispanics. And no, I'm just kidding. They're all white. And we. the actors didn't realize that we were a comedic show. So everywhere we'd go is we'd be making jokes or doing this and stuff like that. And then they would be like, where's the person who's supposed to be with you? And they're not supposed to break character the entire time. We made like six different people break character.
What? Why? How? What do you mean?
Okay. For example, I'll give you one. It's in an episode. And so we walk into this old 1700s house. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And by the way, if I recommend taking your family to the Fortress of Lewisburg. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous place. It's unbelievable up there. And we walk into this house and we're walking through all these exhibits and we get to this lady wearing a big puffy dress and she's playing this piano that sounds like a harp. I don't know. White people were crazy back then. What? No, it's like a piano, but it sounded like a harp. Is that what a harpsichord is?
No idea.
I have no idea. But it was old. It was.
Was it a Casio?
What's that? Yeah. I think it was a Yamaha, actually. And she's playing this. And so I asked her, she's telling me that this instrument would be played at homes of people of note, like, you know, people who are higher up, like generals or this or whatever. And at fancy parties. And I asked her, I said, would I be invited to one of those fancy parties in the 1760s? And she knew exactly what I meant. As a non-white, would I be allowed to walk into one of these parties? She goes, well, I guess it depends on what kind of party you were looking for. And I said, you know, one of those weird, eyes wide shut, weird sex parties kind of thing. And she stands up and she says, where is the person that's supposed to be with you? And I'm like, and we had ditched him. And so, anyways, it was chaos and mayhem.
Please tell me that you're going to keep that in.
Please. Oh, yeah, it's staying in. Yes. And there's a clip in the trailer. I won't tell you. You guys saw it. But there's a part at the end of the trailer where I'm talking to a gentleman. And I think you guys remember the conversation. That was real. That was a real conversation I had with this guy. Yeah.
Seriously?
We didn't plan any of this. Nothing is planned in the show, except for a couple of the intro shots. Other than that, like all of the people we speak to, it's all real. It's awesome. Wow. But it's so much fun because this province is, I know, this is the longest setup to a fucking show.
No, I mean.
this province is incredible. We went through way too much shit last year. I think we all know what we're talking about, not just COVID with the shooting in Porto Peque. And I was like, how do we make this province just goddamn smile, man. Let's do something fun in our own province. And that's what we're doing. And it's a riot. We are having a blast.
Fun,
we're just tearing apart the province and having a blast, making friends everywhere we go and enemies in Lewisburg.
But that kind of production where you mix comedy with like real people is so much fun because it's so unpredictable.
100%.
And I used to do a comedy show, and we actually, the last show with John was on the show, The Unexplainers. And The Unexplainers was a comedy mystery road show where we'd road trip around solving mysteries.
That's awesome.
But like mysteries you could never solve. That's why it was called The Unexplainers,
because
we would unexplain things, which meant we never got to any resolution. But what we'd find was we were kind of, We'd go and meet people who had seen UFOs or had like, I saw a UFO and I lost time. And there was a woman who was like, and they abduct me and they take me to the intergalactic UN and all this kind of stuff, you know. So because we had two comedians, obviously you when you're talking to people, you can't. When you're talking to people who believe in flat earth, who believe they can psychically communicate with Martians, you can't. You know, you can't go there and just make fun of them to their face or anything like that. And we didn't want it to be kind of inclusive.
Of course.
So what John would do, he would be even weirder than they were and say weirder things than they would.
Oh my God, I've been saying that for years. And then, the only way you can you can't logically argue with a crazy person. You can only out crazy them.
Yeah. And then Mike, the other presenter, would just apologize to them for how silly he was being.
Yes.
Please tell me your story. Don't ignore his rubbish. And it worked so
That's
well.
Great.
And we did it for like four seasons. And we could speak to people who'd seen Bigfoot, people, it didn't matter, lake monsters. And because they had that dynamic, the person always felt safe because the skeptic was kind of like siding with them.
Right.
And they always kind of had a good experience and were happy with the end thing because
they got that John was just being a bit silly and saying crazy stuff, but it was in a, then the other person was being sympathetic and,
yeah,
you know, so it worked really well. But it's, wow, it's always, but it's always so like, it's like the adrenaline pumps in those situations.
Sure.
Because you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know what's going to happen with it.
That's, you know what, and as a, you know, I can speak, I think, for a few of my comedian friends. When we think of something funny, we have to say it,
yeah,
or it'll drive us mad. Like, it drives me mad.
It doesn't matter what kind of...
Oh, my God. Doesn't matter what setting I'm in. Kudos to my in-laws for just... They're the most incredible human beings. On. I swear to God, they're the best. Because they just... They love it. They love me for me. They don't want me to be anybody else. So, you know, if we're at dinner with, like, a bunch of people and stuff that I've never met or whatever it is... And I think of something, and my wife knows when I'm thinking of something because I'll just kind of go like this, and she's like, oh, shit. She lets me have my crazy. I have to say it. And if I don't say it, I'm sour for the rest
really?
Of the... Oh, yeah.
You I missed get, an opportunity I'm, to like get
oh,
it out there.
That's yeah, the thing, because laughs are like crack. That's what it is, like drugs to me. That's really what it is. Not, I don't want to offend anybody. That's not what I'm out to do. But, yeah.
You're out to feed your crack addiction.
Oh my God, I have to. But yeah, if I think of something funny, or like if I'm somewhere and someone tries to shut me down for, hey, don't say this. I have a few people like that that try to do that.
Yeah, that's but you do the opposite. You have to say it.
I have to. Yeah. And now I really have to say it because fuck you, you know? But yeah, no, I get that. So with that show, like I wouldn't be able to do that show because I would... Oh my God.
Because it's hard and it is a real tightrope. And a lot of it was in the editing. Sometimes I think in the editing we could have pushed it one way or the other and everything like that. But doing like having comedians interact with real people and shooting like a documentary.
Yeah.
It's just the stuff that you never expect is going to happen. The stuff we used to get was way better than if we'd written it.
Yeah.
Because we'd make assumptions about what was there and what the people were like and everything. And if we cast it with actors and everything. But I just loved the spontaneity of it, and you ended up doing really stupid things.
So now that we've talked about the Unexplainers for 25 minutes, what is the name of your show, Karim?
I was just related.
It's actually the Unexplainers. I guess we're going to have to change it now. But it's called Road Trip with the Brown Cowboy. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you something. Sure. I wanted to just call it Road Trip. Because the Brown Cowboy was like this online thing I had going, and I'm trying to, because I feel as if I'm better than that. So I'm trying to get away from it. So I think Belle is aware that if we do a season two, we're dropping the Brown Cowboy. I'm just like, because when you put a name like that, instantly, I swear to God, like sometimes if I'm doing comedy or if I'm doing whatever, there's people who look at me like, oh my God. He's going to do the Indian voice. And I'm like, no, I'm fucking not. Actually, I'm not going to do it. So I'm just trying to get it. It's like, I'm brown. You can see it, you know? But yeah, that's what it's called. Road Trip with the Brown Cowboy. I'm proud of the show.
That's what you were saying the name of the show was for a second. I'm brown and you could see it.
Yeah. Hey.
Right?
Jesse.
Season two.
I'm brown and you can see it. Deal with it.
I like the kind of pose you did there.
You like that?
A 90s poster.
Yeah.
Cool dude poster.
Stand-up comedy. Yeah. I'm still here.
Or whatever. That's always the thing as well with comedy posters.
Oh my God.
You have to do grumpy or over-the-top crazy arms in the air and eyebrows raised up.
Yeah, I refuse. I won't do it. I'm not going to do those. Those ones. Like grabbing a mic and be like, is this a hot dog or whatever the fuck they
like, with like an inflatable parrot on your shoulder or something.
And like you're like, what's that on my shoulder?
It's like they won't know it's a comedy without you being a dick.
I know. Like, I know. That's why I love Dave Chappelle, man. He's the coolest. He just does his thing.
I love the fact that even he can stand up against all smoking laws and regulations.
Oh,
and
my
smoke
God.
On stage.
He is, in my opinion, the coolest fucking guy in the world. He's my idol. He's the guy.
He's fantastic. Yeah.
So you should book him.
If you have his number, we'll gladly call him up.
I don't have it.
So this podcast will probably come out long before your show is. So our listener, if you have a piece of paper and a crayon handy, as you usually do, when would your show come out, do you think? You're in the middle of shooting it still.
Right now we're on, again, hiatus until the spring.
Okay.
Right now, I think tentatively, hopefully mid-August.
Okay.
That's
not bad.
But if you follow 15 Cornwall Productions on Facebook, you're going to get all the updates and a bunch of other crazy stuff.
And
that we
sneak
do.
Previews.
Sneak previews, new trailers, and everything that we're up to. Yeah.
Are you doing any merch?
No.
We sold a t-shirt and a sticker yesterday.
Really? We have stickers?
We have stickers. Yeah.
What the fuck?
I felt like.
What was the sticker?
I'll find out now.
It was a maple leaf on Trump's hair or something like that.
We sold a sticker. I'm all proud.
I wonder
where that sticker's going.
Our best-selling t-shirt is Ride the Shiny Pony.
Amazing. Whoever bought...
Where do I buy that? Where do we buy that?
CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com.
CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com.
Cool. So somebody bought the Manitoba Knights t-shirt.
Fucking yes.
And two Manitoba Knights stickers.
Oh my God. Okay, whoever you are, you must be listening, because there's no way you're not listening to the show. Please take a photo of the sticker.
Yeah. I think they shut it off at like marker 23.
Send it to us and we'll put it up on, or just tag us in your Instagram, which probably has way more followers than we do.
We do have a trickle of people buying merch, which is mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great, though. I love this. This is a riot for me. I'm having an absolute blast. I really want to thank you.
We deliver our like weekly show every Monday, and it's around 20 to 30 minutes long. And then if we have a guest, we're like, fuck it. If they want to listen to an hour and a half long of us having a guest, have at her. Our regular show's coming out on Monday regardless.
Right.
Right. So this is a bonus and a treat for some people and an absolute nightmare for others.
Yeah,
so
some people won't listen. But that's their choice.
I'm gonna make like my family listen to it. I'm gonna the whole thing.
Like tie them to chairs and like put headphones on them.
Because I'll send the link to my in-laws but I'll say don't play it until I'm there so I know. And I'll sit there,
stand there, like stare into their eyes while they listen. Yeah, yeah. And then when there's a joke.
And then I'll pause it. Did you find that funny?
Yeah.
My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, very much into politics. My father-in-law, career politician for the Liberal Party.
Really?
And so I totally forgot after you reached out, I should have called him and just like, have you listened to this yet? Because I bet you he would love, because I've listened to a few of the episodes now, and him and my mother-in-law would love this.
He's a politician, you say?
He's a judge now.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I hit the jackpot, guys.
Lucky you.
Yeah, you know, needed that security. A security blanket.
Did you ever call him the judge instead of dad?
No. Just
Judge
Paul.
Dad.
Judge Dad.
Just Judge Dad. Shout out to them. Shout out to the Duffies. They're the best.
Can you make a trailer for Judge Dad, which is like Judge Dredd?
Who ate the last piece of cheesecake?
Hi, Judge Dad.
Yeah.
Hi, Judge Dad.
He's, they're the best. They're like my best friends, man. Aww. You know how people will like, I find it crazy, like, you know, contrary to terrible 90s stand-up comedy, your in-laws can be pretty goddamn cool. They're pretty good. Like, do you get along with your in-laws?
No, I do. I think, like, I very different personality types, but that doesn't stop us from getting on.
Right.
It's fine, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I
And I thankfully am not married.
Oh, actually,
are you single?
I am single.
You are single. Yep. How old are you, Jesse?
I am turning 42.
You're turning 42.
Yep.
He's
got loads of kids. He's just never met them.
That's true. Oh, yeah. 2009 was a crazy year for me, too. Well, that's good. Do you live in the city? I'm going to interview you now.
Sure. That's interesting.
Do you live in the city?
I do live in the city.
Do you live in the city? So, Jesse, men, women, which one are you into?
Women.
Ladies.
Females.
Jesse is very handsome. I know you can't see it.
I would not consider myself handsome this year.
His voice would lead you to the contrary, but he is very, very handsome. He's got the long wavy hair. He's got the Ricky Gervais black t-shirt on.
Yeah. Or Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
I have nothing but black t-shirts in my closet.
If you're a single woman and you'd like a piece of Jesse, then just email
the
show.
Show, guys. I mean, you know.
Canadian I am single sport. And ready to mingle, ladies.
I think this has been a very fun episode.
Okay.
A very weird episode. Yeah,
very strange.
This is good.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I do like the unstructured ones because usually I've got a thing in front of me and I'm trying to follow it and everything. And it's quite nice to go off the beaten path.
Hey, I've always wanted to do a pod. Yeah, my God, this is fun. Like, this is like...
Maybe you should have your own.
I would love
segue
to.
Segue into Reese's business.
Yeah.
Yeah, my business. Is this a plug for my business on the?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know what? I should use this podcast to promote my podcast business more.
Why not, you? Man,
I've never mentioned it. It's like, crazy.
Reese has a business where he helps other businesses start a podcast when they don't know how to start a podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's like, do you want a podcast? I will help you have a podcast. And he's very good at it.
I would like to have a podcast now, Reese. How do we like...
That will be $6 million.
Ah, shit.
He can pay it in installments.
Ooh, let me call my father-in-law.
Judge Dad. Cool. God. This has been fun. We will have you back for another episode.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. Absolutely.
Yeah, this was super
this
fun.
So much fun.
You should have me on your television show.
You guys are more than welcome to join us at any location we go on. Absolutely.
I actually didn't think that would work, but I'll do
100%.
It.
If you ever want us to just do something, I'm up for that.
Just come on down. Like we're not one of those. Yeah, come on down.
I would.
100%.
I'll let you guys know when we start. Maybe should be a group. If there's a group activity that you can do in Nova Scotia, you need multiple people. We'll come and make the numbers up.
Actually, we're looking at going back to Cape Breton since we ruined it the first time. please. That'd be all. I mean, we have a riot, and we eat. Well, thanks, Bill. That's 30% of the budget, just eating well. They didn't know that until now.
Mobile hog roast following you around.
Yeah.
No, it was super fun having you on the show. Thanks for
thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it.
And go to
15 Cornwall Productions.
And social media for we'll promote it.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.